In the small town of Lava Hot Springs, Idaho, lies an old sanatorium turned into a hotel. The sanatorium was once used to treat World War II soldiers suffering from the aftermath of the war. They believed the hot springs offered supernatural healing properties. What they didn't realize was that the mineral baths also acted as a conductor for paranormal activity. The hot springs attracts thousands of visitors each year seeking its healing benefits. Many of the visitors end up getting more than they bargained for. Stay tuned. Mystery Media Group presents Case File 42.
Are listening to Mystery Media Group.
Yay! So we did an investigation at Lava Hot Springs in March.
What, was a year ago?
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. And unfortunately, not everybody who was there can join us today, but there's three of us here. You've got Mike and myself and Michelle from Time for Hello. That. Michelle's the one that takes all the good notes anyway, and we need her. I don't know why we wait so long to record some of these episodes. Well, half the problem is it takes me so long to get through all the evidence and stuff. But in this case, I lost a lot of the audio. I have a lot of pictures, though, and I have my notes from the investigation. The Lava Hot Springs Inn was built in 1924 and was originally the Lava Hot Springs Hospital. The hospital not only offered all the regular medical services any other hospital provides, but it also had the added benefit of mineral hot springs. Many believe the hot springs alone would cure and prevent disease. During World War II, the hospital was leased to the government to provide rehabilitation for soldiers. After the war, the hospital became a rest home until the 1970s. It was vacant until the current owners purchased the hospital in 1988, and they turned it into a hotel. And the same owners still own it today. The hospital hotel has been featured on several paranormal shows, including Ghost Adventures. There are several ghosts that are said to haunt this location. And you can actually read about these ghost stories if you go downstairs to where they have like the breakfast room. There's a little booklet that they've kept there about the ghost stories and some of the things that have happened there in the hotel. One thing that I kind of liked about the hotel was the fact that they haven't changed a whole lot from when it was a hospital. The rooms basically are the same, other than they've got queen beds instead of hospital beds.
Smell a little better too.
Yeah. If you stay there, just be aware that you have to walk across the hall to go to the bathroom. The bathrooms are shared, but it's
there's
just
also a resident cat too.
Oh yeah, there's a resident cat. I forgot about that. A really nice one, and I'm not one for cats, but this one was
climbed upon our bed while we were laying there, like he knew us.
Yeah, it'll just come into your room. So if you're allergic to cats, keep that in mind.
I think you can still call it a hospital, because if you sit in the mineral pools and drink a Mountain Dew,
oh yeah,
it's pretty good for the soul.
Absolutely,
it's cleansing.
Felt really good to go sit in those mineral pools. The first night we were there, we probably sat in them for a good 3 hours.
Oh, easy.
And then the next morning, at least a couple of hours.
It was way nice.
The hotel has like 3 or 4 in back, and then quite a bit up front too. A lot.
The whole town of Lava has just hot pools and pockets everywhere with different varying degrees of temperatures. You can pick about any temperature you want.
Mm-hmm.
Too hot, you go to one that's a little cooler, and the entire town is full of that. It's a pretty cool little town.
You know, and I wondered if that might be a lot of what adds to the paranormal activity there, because the hospital or the hotel isn't the only place where you'll experience a lot of the activity. It's probably the most notable place.
I would think that mountain men and Indians would come there for some kind of spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. And because of the hot pockets, I mean, people have been going there forever, I would imagine.
You know, and water is a conductor, right? And yeah. I mean, it's got so many minerals in it. You would think that, I mean, maybe that the spiritual activity is fueled by the springs, and because it runs all through the town.
People would have held it to a high regard, like a spiritual cleansing too. Yeah. Same way we do.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a popular theory in the paranormal community that the mineral baths are a conductor for this unusual activity. And I do have to say, too, that when we were at the hotel, the EMF readings were really high, just as a baseline reading. So that could add to a lot of it as well.
And a piece of advice, don't put your hand in the center pipe. It's pretty dang hot.
I think there's a sign there that tells you not to.
It needs to be bigger.
Yeah. Yep. The center is where the hot stuff is.
It's pretty hot.
But it's a cute little town. I mean, it's definitely a tourist town. You can park your cars anywhere and just walk to wherever you need to go to. Fun little restaurants, lots of hot pots to sit in, and cute little hotels. They're all pretty old, though, so don't get your hopes up too high that you're going to be staying in some posh hotel.
Yeah, they're not too fancy, but they're old school, and
which is what we
prefer. That's kind of what I like about them. Yeah, I'd much rather stay there.
Yep, me too. We like the history of the places. Room 13 is supposedly the most haunted room in the place, and that's the room that my husband and I stayed at. Funny little story about room 13. So he's not real into paranormal investigations.
Your husband?
Yeah. He always tells me that I'm crazy, and he doesn't believe it, but then he gets scared kind of easily. He wanted to come hang out with us and he had the weekend off and stuff. And so he came with us this time. He did our little investigation with us when we were in the operating room, but then he went back to our room to chill while we went downstairs and stuff. And when we came back upstairs, he had the door wide open with the light on.
Every light on. Every light on. Even the hall lights on.
And I was like, because he was nervous about shutting the door, because we were staying in the most haunted room, supposedly, in the hotel, room 13. And I'm like, for crying out loud, I would rather deal with the ghosts than worry about the other people in the hotel walking down the hallway and peeking in on me. He had the door wide open. Like, anybody that wanted to use the bathroom across the hall would see him sleeping there.
He's dead asleep with every light on and every door open.
Why don't you turn the light on and shut the door? I mean, I don't know. So room 13 was the pre-op room that was used for prepping patients before they were wheeled into the double doors of the OR. The OR is right next door to room 13, and you can still see the double doors there. They've been sealed. If you stay in room 13, the bed is kind of pushed up against those double doors. You can't use them anymore, but right next door is the OR, and they currently have that set up as a sitting room. You can see a skylight, and they use that for natural lighting, just gave them more light when they were doing surgeries. The ghost that is usually seen in room 13 is named Martha, and she died after having a bad reaction to some anesthesia when she went in for surgery, and she just never woke up from surgery. So many people think she just is still kind of not sure what happened, like still waiting to go into surgery because she isn't really sure that she's dead, but I don't know. She is usually seen wearing a hospital gown, and people have claimed to see her looking out the window if they're down in the front of the hotel, you know, soaking in the hot pots or whatever. People say that they've seen her in the window up in room 13, and she likes to wake up people who stay there and ask them what they're doing. Unfortunately, I did not experience that. Or if she did try to wake me up, I slept through it. I don't know.
You know, that reminds me of something I'd forgotten about. We got there first, and there, right across from that operating room, across the hall, is a little nurse's station or something. Mm-hmm. I was hiding in that. Well, not hiding, but waiting in there for you guys to come upstairs. I was going to throw a book out and try and scare you. But I heard someone coming up to me real quietly, and I thought it was you guys, but it was awfully quiet and you guys weren't being terribly quiet. And it went past and kept going, and I never saw it, but I could hear it. Here's something, the last few steps, and then turn the corner and go past. And I was getting ready to toss the book out and never saw anybody.
I remember you telling me about that though, when we were there.
Well, and also where they said that she likes to wake up people. Did we share with you what happened in our girls' room?
Yeah, I was going to have you talk about what happened to Sierra when they were trying to sleep. Do you remember what room they were in?
Sierra and Lauren were room 16. That was down at the very end of the other end of the hall. And they had a door that connected to our room. And during the night, I heard what sounded like metal mini blinds, like banging, but there weren't any of those. Mm-hmm. Sierra and Lauren's bed was metal. And the tones of the banging would change. You could tell it was metal banging, but it would be like really soft, higher tones. And then you'd get lower tones, like someone was banging on the bed. Mike heard some of the bangs also. And in the morning, Sierra said someone was tapping on the frame of their bed.
At first, she thought it was the radiator. But after doing some looking around, it wasn't the radiator. So she kind of crawled back into bed. She kept hearing it again, but she didn't want to open her eyes to see something was standing.
What was doing it?
Yeah, but she said it sounded just like somebody was tapping on the frame of their bed.
And that's what I heard too. I was like, why are the girls playing in there? What are they doing? And I just dismissed it and stayed.
I didn't know that part about the woman waking people up though.
Yeah.
I didn't know that then.
She didn't wake me up. I had the camera going all night too, and it died about a half hour after I turned it on. So if she showed up, the camera didn't get it. A lot of people also experience activity in the operating room, which is the sitting room right next door. Rooms 10 and 7 are also known to have apparitions. One of an elderly lady, nobody quite knows who she is, and then a World War II soldier. There's actually several soldiers that have supposedly been seen there. The basement contains the ghost of a little girl named Rose, who is mostly seen in there's like a spa type area down in the basement. One of the rooms they do massage therapy in, and that's where she's mostly seen. And then there's also the apparition of a shadow man down in the basement. They don't know who he is, but he's very tall and dark, and he hangs out in the boiler/laundry room, which used to be the hospital morgue. So that's interesting. We did actually talk to the guy that was running the desk that night. And he's like, you know, I don't really believe in all this stuff, but there have been some crazy things that have happened here that he can't quite figure out. So he's getting to be more and more of a believer, but he says it's very common to hear footsteps go up and down the hall, which is sounds like what you heard, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And he says you'll hear stuff in rooms when nobody's staying there. You can hear muffled conversations in places where there aren't any people, doors opening and closing on their own, which we experienced, just the feeling of being watched or followed. And this could be a result of the high EMF that's there. But anyway, that's about the extent of the ghosts that are supposedly seen there. We did start out in the operating room where we did a EVP/spirit box session.
We also had Diane's rods with us too.
Oh yeah, thousand rods. Yep. I don't remember a lot happening there until I started asking questions regarding the war and soldiers. And it seemed like we may have gotten the presence of a World War II soldier.
Once you introduced everyone in the operating room, the first thing that happened is we got a whistle 2 times across the spirit box before we even started.
Like that kind of whistle?
Well, not. It was almost like Joe's whistle.
Like the... Wait.
But that was Mockingjay.
That's Mockingjay.
I know. I'm like, wait, that's not right. What is our...
But it was like a three-toned whistle.
I personally think there's a spirit that follows us around that likes to whistle. Yeah, the first time we heard it was in Joe's cave.
Mm-hmm. No,
I didn't hear it when it happened.
No, we did not hear it when it happened, but that's the first time we captured it. The head that we've never found, it's never been discovered, is just following us around.
And he's going to find that head.
Okay, anyway, continue.
Well, and then we had like a sound of like wind going through the room, but all the windows in the room were shut and everything. But you were like, where'd that wind just come from? Several of us heard it. It was like a big gust of wind. We didn't feel it, but you heard it go through the room.
I suspect I know who's responsible for that. Shut up.
And nobody farted, right?
Exactly. So that's what happened, like right when we turned everything on. And we asked a lot of questions, and it would respond to a lot of them. We asked if they could touch the EMF, and it turned orange right after we asked that.
We got a lot of EMF activity. Oh,
we did. And the rods got a lot of stuff too. We asked, like us to know about your service, and the rods crossed for yes. The spirit box also turned off a lot on its own.
Yeah.
During the session, it would turn off.
We had a lot of equipment malfunctions while we were there.
It was really weird.
Mm-hmm. Probably because of the high EMF is my guess.
Probably. We narrowed it down to, we were talking to a vet, and we asked if they knew Martha, which was the lady that had died in surgery. And that's when the obvious turned off. And Sierra felt something touch the back of her head. Mike, Sierra, and I were sitting on a couch that was against those double doors that went into room 13.
I do remember that.
Into the recovery room. She was like, something just grabbed my head.
I remember that. It was me, Michelle, and then Sierra, and I had my arm on the back of the bench, and my arm fell off and hit her on the shoulder. Man, she screamed and went through the roof.
Well, I remember her saying, like, she turned around real quick and she's like, are you touching my head?
That's why she was saying that, is because the first time it was my hand. But after that, something was poking at her hair or playing with it.
Well, we asked several more questions and the spirit box turned off at least two more times after that. The rods started pointing to room 13. And we asked, do you want us to go to room 13? And then they crossed for yes. Before we left, we go, what's your name? And we had Ovilus's going. One was on Tice and one was Joey's. We got two answers. One was Mark and the one said, wait. And then we asked, what do we need to wait for? And the spirit box turned on by itself, which really threw me, because turning off, you could be like, oh, battery's getting played. But to turn on by itself, because you had set it on the table away from you at this point.
Yeah.
No one was even touching it. And it just turned on because you thought, oh, it's dead. We're not going to use it anymore, because it had shut off at least two times before that.
Yeah.
After several more questions, we got just random words on the ovilus, and then all the equipment we had stopped working except for the rods and the ovilus. The two video cameras we had stopped. The spirit box stopped. The EMF wasn't getting anything.
Didn't we go through a lot of batteries too?
We did.
My thermal went through a lot of batteries.
I brought tons of extra batteries, tons of extra charging cables, and we just couldn't keep anything charged.
No. Well, and at this time,
even the flashlight.
Joey got on his ovilus frozen. When everything shut off, we were like, whoa, what just happened? He got frozen.
He got the word frozen?
He got the word frozen on his ovilus.
Mm.
And then Joey said he saw white orbs pass over Sierra and Mike and I.
Which is where she got touched.
Yep. That's pretty much what I got in the operating room. So after that, we moved into room 13. And we kept the door into room 12, where Tice and Cosette were staying. We kept that room open.
So there was a
adjoining door
into room 12, and a few people were in room 12, including Mike.
So you guys were doing the investigation in 13, and you're getting some activity, weren't you?
We were getting some really good activity. Our EMF was going off right when we were asking questions.
Yeah, it was almost constant.
And about 30 minutes in, I just could not keep my eyes open again. So I went through the adjoining door. That was open. The lights were off, and I laid down on one of the beds, and Tice was in a chair.
He had just had knee surgery.
I had his leg up. Yeah, that's right. And I kind of was dozing off and on, in and out of consciousness. And you guys asked a question, and the door to the room, not the adjoining door between 12 and 13, but 12 in the hallway, that door just blew open. I mean, with a lot of force. These doorknobs are really old, so you can hear them when you turn them, and you can hear them when they unlatch, when it clicks, when the latch pulls out of the frame. I didn't hear the doorknob rattle, but I heard the latch click.
Because I wrote when that happened. The question we asked right before that door opened is, we asked, did you stay in room 12?
And that door, it hit the wall so hard.
Before that even happened, at the very beginning when we were in room 13, Tyson and Joey were the only ones in 12 at that time. we asked if Martha was there. The MF was still spiking, and we were telling her not to be scared. And the adjoining door between 12 and 13 closed.
Right after the door opened into the hallway, which we hadn't used for quite a while, it slammed shut. Not like it bounced and slammed shut. It was wide open, so it wasn't like a vacuum that closed it, but it slammed shut about a minute later.
We asked, was that you that opened the door? And the rods crossed for yes. And the spirit box said, indeed. During this, Mike had his thermal out because he came back into the room after the door opened and closed.
You guys came and got me because you guys were using the thermal and you were getting something weird in the corner.
And the EMF was frantically flashing red.
But there was something in the corner by the door. It was kind of smoky-like in appearance through the thermal imager, but sometimes it would take on an almost humid shape, and then it would kind of blur out and then come back as another shape. Each time it happened, the EMF, it would turn orange or red. I don't know what it was, but it was interesting.
We asked Martha if she was on the bed with all seven of us that were on there, and the rod said yes. We asked if they could straighten the rods, and the rods straightened. We asked, are you angry? And then Joey's video camera stopped. We asked, what message would you like us to tell your loved ones? On the obelisk, we got heart.
I remember asking a lot of questions to see if we could get Martha to answer us. And it seemed like she was talking to us.
We did ask her several questions, and it seemed like we got answers if it was crossing of the rods or the EMF would progress in color.
I do remember asking the question about PTSD.
Before we asked that, though, about halfway through, you became very dizzy.
Yeah, I did.
You actually got off the bed and sat on the floor. And Sierra became extremely tired. She was like, I'm going to have to go to bed. I can't stand up. I can't do anything. So we turned everything off but the EMF and the obelisk.
And I wonder if a lot of that had to do with the high EMF readings that were there.
The fatigue?
Yeah. Or even, you know, if there was spirits there that were trying to manifest or talk or whatever, drying our energy from us as well. I don't know.
I don't remember being particularly tired before that, but good grief. After doing that for a bit, I could not keep my eyes open either.
But I do remember we were asking questions regarding PTSD. Not sure if some of the soldiers were being treated for that or had issues with that. And we got some pretty good responses on the EMF. I remember saying, you know, talk to us, tell us what we can do to help you. My husband is right here and he works with patients all day long that suffer from that. And I'm like, talk to him, let him know what you need. And Chris was like, don't bring me into this. I'm like, they need help. Just because they're dead doesn't mean they don't need help.
Yeah, when we asked, because we asked Martha specifically if she came there because she was a vet and the EMF flashed. Then we also got MAP, insane PTSD on the obelisk. So we asked, did you have PTSD? The EMF flashed again. We asked some other questions, got random stuff. We asked if the pools helped. We got a flash. And we also got the word burning on the obelisk.
Yeah, I burned my hand.
We asked if the pools were too hot. They also flashed and we got the word asthma. And we asked, did the pools affect your asthma? And the EMF flashed again. And then we asked Martha if she was still with us. And the ovulus said yes. And I guess at this point we turned on the rods because the rods also crossed for yes.
Seemed too like we were talking to another elderly lady.
We got the word Natalie.
Yeah.
So we were putting questions to Natalie too.
She was looking for a friend that she couldn't find.
Yeah. I think Natalie was one of the names that came up on the obelisk.
Yeah, it was. And we got it on multiple occasions. So that was interesting. So maybe she had a friend that was in the nursing home with her that she was trying to find.
Yeah, we got some interesting things because we got the word searching.
She was trying to communicate with her friend and it was difficult or something. And so her friend to communicate drew pictures. Do you remember this?
Yes. We asked if Natalie was an artist and we got the word drew on the obelisk.
And I remember asked, is that how you were able to communicate with her? And the EMF like went to red and just stayed there for a hot minute. Like it was at least 30, 40 seconds, which was weird. So it seemed like Natalie was looking for her friend who had a hard time communicating or talking. And it appeared that she was able to communicate with her through pictures or.
Yeah, we did ask after we asked if Martha was still there. We said, is there a reason you come back to room 13? And we got the word seek.
You know, many people claim that she is still not sure what happened, thinking she's still waiting to go into surgery.
Yeah.
Now she died. But I definitely think the most significant thing that happened in that session was the door opening and closing. We had really good EMF activity. The answer was actually answering questions. Oh, another thing I remember too is it seemed like we may have been talking to a nurse at one point. Tice had just had surgery, like I said, and he was pretty uncomfortable with his knee.
Tice was sitting in a chair and he stated that his knee was starting to hurt. And on the obvious, we got, are you okay?
Yeah.
More stuff happened to him with his knee, even down in the basement. Because once we finished up in 13, we moved to the basement into the dining room. But not everyone came, but a majority did.
Some people went to bed after that.
Yeah.
With the door wide open and the lights on.
All of the lights on. How do you sleep like that?
I don't know.
With the doorway open in the hallway, I would never be able to fall.
No.
Sleep like that.
Not intentionally. The lights on at all. I have to have it like
black.
Yeah, we moved down to the basement after that and we started out in the dining area. We had a lot of EMF, like tons of EMF activity there too. And it, like, we were asking questions, we were getting responses on the ovulus. The spirit box kept dying, so we couldn't really rely on that. And our cameras kept dying. But every time we would ask a question down there, it seemed like the EMF went to red.
Yes.
So it would be green. We'd ask a question. It would go all the way to red. We ask another question. It would go all the way to red. And we kept getting responses on the ovulus too. It was almost like something was just messing with us.
Almost. And it seemed like we had another vet down there. We asked, we stated it was a former sanatorium and it flashed red. And we were talking about that they treated the vets in the hot pools. It flashed red again. Then we asked, do we have a vet with us? And the EMF went to orange. And on the ovulus, we got happy and arrived. Down there, Tice's scar began to sting. He said it wasn't just the knee hurting. The scar itself started to sting. The words we got on the ovulus at that time really didn't make sense.
No.
We got taste and central. It was getting really weird.
It seemed like they started out making sense and then it just got weird. You know what's weird too? I got to tell you about my experience down there. And I know I told you guys at the time, I was sitting at the table. I could see the stairway from where I was sitting. And I saw a pair of legs come down the stairs. They were in black pants. And I remember thinking, oh, it's probably just the guy that was sitting at the front desk because he was wearing black. But then we didn't hear anybody like walk down the hall or anything. So I got up to go check it out and there was nobody down the hall. But I saw two legs like come down the stairs. And it seemed like right after that was when the answers just started spitting out random words on the ovulus. And we were getting spikes on the EMF every time we asked a question. So I wonder if this dark apparition that people claim to see down there had entered and was messing with us. I just felt like we weren't getting real answers.
And I have here towards the end that you started getting dizzy again.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were going to wrap it up and we did. I think we asked this question at the end of almost all of them. We asked, what do you want us to know? And the ovulus, we got the words crossover, comeback, sorry. And it ended with please out. And so we asked, do you want us to leave? And the other said, please, element. And then one of the rods turned off also.
The rods had lights on them.
Yes. So the lights went out. After that, most of us went upstairs to bed.
Yeah, I was down there with Cosette and Joey. I think it was just us three. And I really kind of wanted to check out the massage room because it gave me the heebie-jeebies for some reason. And we had gone down there during the day to check it out. The EMF readings were really high, so that could have been why. But at the time, I didn't know anything about this little girl named Rose that supposedly hides out there. But that room gave me, like, I could hardly even walk into that room. Something was wrong with that room. So Joey was trying to be brave and go in. He started to enter the room. And one of the sheets on the massage table kind of poofed up and came back down, almost like something grabbed it and dropped it. And so we were out of there.
Didn't you say a little girl used to hide under the beds?
Yeah, there's a story of a little girl named Rose that supposedly hides under the beds there.
Was that her?
I don't know.
Under the Mashaw's bed?
Why do all the little girls hide under the beds? Wasn't that the same thing in
Asylum 49? Yeah.
Asylum 49.
That I don't know, but if that was her, she's a creepy little girl. She gives me the heebie-jeebies. But then across the hall is the boiler laundry room, which used to be the morgue. And we did go in there. The first little room is the laundry room. And we walked through the laundry room. And then there's another door that goes into the boiler room. And we could hear clanking and banging going on the other side of the door. But we thought, oh, that's just the boiler. And so as we were starting to go in there, Joey mentions, it's okay, I'm baptized. Everything's fine. The words "no saint" came across the ovulus, like, you're no saint, which we thought was a little strange. Oh, but we did open the door to the boiler room, and you could hear the boiler turn on, but it wasn't like clanking and banging. So not quite sure what that was before we opened the door. But the weird thing is I would think if that was the morgue, I should get more creeped out there than in the massage room where the little girl's hiding out. But the massage room was the creepiest part of the whole place to me. Didn't like it.
I wonder what happened there.
I don't know. Yeah, those were my experiences. Seeing that sheet move on the bed was freaky. Seeing the person walk down the stairs was a little freaky.
Door slamming open.
Door opening and shutting was a little freaky. Those were the biggest things for me. I mean, they were really nice to let us come in and investigate. They were really nice to answer our questions.
Yeah, it was worth it just to see the fixtures and the trim work and the vaulted ceiling.
With the
skylight. The skylight and that operating room. That's pretty cool. I like those old hotels like that.
I do too.
I like all old buildings like that.
Me too. And I'd much rather stay in something like that than some super fancy hotel anyway. I think it's
Yeah, me fun. Too.
We had a good time. These little adventures that we do with our team are amazing. To me, it's not just about going and finding ghosts. It's about learning the history of the place, learning the people that occupied the space there. You know, what kind of stories can we bring back and share with others? What can we do to help these spirits that are on the other side? Because they're people too. You know, if there's anything we can do to help them, then I'd like to. I don't know. Just being with your friends, hanging out in creepy places, nothing better than that.
Why is that fun?
I think it strengthens the bond between everyone. It, you know, you learn to rely on those on your team. Because since we've started doing this, I mean, our core little group, I think we're pretty tight and bringing others in and stuff. But we know that our core team that we've done so much with, they always have our back. If something is going to hit the ceiling and manifest itself or whatnot, we know we have people that have our back, and it's really strengthened the bonds, I think, that we have with each other.
Yeah. And you know, everybody has their own little area of expertise too. So It's nice to have that group there that, you know, one specializes in this and can do this better, and another one specializes in that and can do that better. So we rely on each other to get the job done. And I highly recommend people find what they love to do, whatever it is, as long as it's not illegal or bad, and do it. You know, once a month, go out and do something that lights your soul on fire.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Agreed. It is a lot easier to go to work.
It is.
After you've done something fun.
You know, and
after you've done something you're passionate about.
Yeah. How we were mentioning not too long ago about how in 2020, we were doing these every weekend because we had time. In 2021, we didn't get out as much as we had the year before, and we could tell.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I missed them.
Yeah.
I'd come home from a tough day at the hospital and look at Mike and go, I need an adventure. We need to leave. I need something.
We need to go do
which
something.
Is not like her to usually say. So that's saying something.
Just get out and explore your backyard. I mean,
we have a place called, it's a slough out behind our house. From our house, it's like a mile away or less. But to drive there, it's 3 or 4 miles. And every time we get an itch, we drive down there and go Bigfoot hunting and watch for aliens. And, you know, we're just screwing around. But it's still fun to do. Mm-hmm. We were walking along the bank one time and did you hear that? And a bunch of ducks flew out of the water and it sounded like something running and everybody screamed and ran and fell and had a great time.
Great times.
Great time. Yep.
Well, it's like that song from Cody Johnson. I love the line that chase your dreams because your dreams aren't going to chase you back.
Except for Bigfoot. Well, you chase me back, I'd be all right with it.
If you enjoy our show, please like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review. We will be introducing other Mystery Media Group guests in our upcoming episodes, along with weekly bonus material. If you'd like to see more pictures and evidence from our adventures, visit www.destination-mystery.com. You'll find a link to our blog, as well as a link for merch and contact information. Until next time, find your own destination.
Solve the mystery.
This is a production of Mystery Media Group.
Yay!